Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, welcome to Hardcore Fantasy Podcast, episode 30. I'm your host, Peter, and joined this week by my good friend, Gunnar. How are you doing, Gunnar?
How are you doing, Peter? I'm doing very well, thank you.
Fantastic. No Tom this week, he's on a scouting mission. But really, he's got a work course, so he couldn't make it. So, Gunnar, what we'll do is we will go onto the Fantasy Podcast page and go for our top three. The top three as it stands is number one, no move, Wolftone, Tony McClenny, 115. So that is him sitting at the top. Second, Conquering Lions. And third, up to third, is you yourself, Gunnar. Los Pimentores with 129, which was also the highest game week score of the week. So there you go. We shout out for in the top three and the highest game week score.
Nice. Yeah, I had a wee look yesterday at the highest game week score. It was nice that I managed to get that as well. Yeah, into the top three in our fantasy podcast league. That's nice. That's nice.
You've been there before. You can back out it, but have you been there before? Is that the first time? I think you were in it earlier on, were you not?
I'm not sure if that was the FPL or if that was on the Scottish one.
Well, we'll get to that later. You can post to that one as well. Right, you might talk us through your points for the double game week.
Yeah, so overall, the 129 points, I played my bench boost. My starting 11 in goal, I had Strijek, Delivy, goalie, 14 points overall. 7 from Barisic, captain Tavernier, 14 points. Guthrie got me 7 points, as well as Goldson and Ayer, also 7 points. Turnbull, 10 points, 3 points of Ferguson. Just a 1 point from Nisbet. Devante Cole, he managed to get me 9 points. Then a vice-captain, Odson Edward, 28 points. That was a play of the game week, if I may say so. And then because I played the bench boost, it was Marciano for 9 points, Mullen for 6, Hedges 4, and Jamie McGrath for 3 points.
Okay. Tom is having the 4 points, so I'll say it again. I said last week, Tom, if this was a cup week, you were out, son. But then again, if I played Gunnar, I was out. But it's not a cup week. Right, my 95 points came from, I had Anakin goals from St. Mirren, who they set off in the second game, so wiped out his first game points, so nothing for him. Barisic 7, Goldston 7, Tavernier 7, a vice-captain Guffrey, so had 12 points for him, McGregor 7, a captain Turnbull, so 20 points for Turnbull, Mullen 6, Robinson 4, Oakley 4, Brophy 2, that's not really worked out at all, Nisbet 1, Ferguson 3, Hoban 6, and Marciano in 9, so that's my 85. If Tav would have returned, I may have got over 100, but I didn't, but so far going on that, is this the first 100 plus of the podcast so far?
I think it might be the second one, but it's definitely the highest score that I've had so far in the game.
Okay, okay. So, the cup has been drawn, it has been made. If you're in the cup and you haven't listened yet, check your feed. The last podcast was a cup draw. Over the space of the weekend, Gunnar's working on some art, and we'll have all the cup draw out there so you can see your route to the final. We've done it in sections 4, so you can basically see. It's like American style, the bracket, where you have to win that section to get through to the semi. You know your route to the final. You know who you play the next round. I've wrote who you're playing with. Well, Gunnar will do this up, obviously, with your app. So you can see who you're playing. So you can interact with the person if you want. Trash talk. I've seen you and Sutter already started this on your on the chat. Have you got a trash talk?
Yeah, I'm already gathering my hooligans to for the away game at Sutty Football, yeah.
So we get up. You can trash talk who you're playing. Also, like I said before, use the hashtag HHFPCup, and that way you can keep track with MDLs in the cup as well. And also that, just a reminder, that is game week 32. So you've got plenty of time to get a team sorted for it. And right before a wild card as well. So it should be interesting that turn of events coming in the cup. Right, we have no topic, because obviously there's a lot of games covering this week. So we're going to go to stats. Do you want to get your stat out of the way first, Gunnar?
My stat of the week, I need to find it here now.
Do you want me to go first down while you're waiting?
Yeah.
This is Tom's stat, right? So Livi had four clean sheets in the last five league games. So he's done the stat with a question here as well. And since I'm not in the pod, my question is, with the rotation risk around the Livingston attackers, would you look at the Livingston defence double up given their current form? And I'm quite sure you've got double up in you because you have got Guthrie and Strychek, the keeper.
Yep.
Quite happy with that?
Yeah, I seen the question and I was thinking if you go for the double up, then I think the goalie, that's your safest bet, especially now with the rotation that we see in the Livy side. Since I brought him in, I'm really happy with the points return that I've got from him.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago, we were actually talking about maybe getting him out to get somebody else in, but the fact you've had other fires to fight, it's worked out for you.
Exactly, yeah. I brought him in just, I think I had a free transfer for a goalie that went out on loan to somewhere, and then I brought him in with a look ahead to the bench boost there and Livy having all these double game weeks. But yeah, I've been thinking of taking him out, but he's returned a few weeks now, and I think he's staying with the form they're in. And for Livy as well, I think he's a big upgrade on McCrory.
Yeah. I think like Tom, I've got Robinson and Mullen in midfield and I've got Guthrie at the back. Guthrie's carrying up, but once he gets back fit, Guthrie will play. So I'm not sure with Guthrie. I think Devlin's another one that's nailed on the back, but it's whether you want to stick with the Livingston double up right now while they're keeping this fantastic form. I don't see the form drop them off, mind you, but I think they'll keep this form up to the end of the season. I think they'll be quite a solid team to beat, quite good defensively. And Robinson, who looked like a good option because he was out of position playing up front, now his game time is not so much. So it will something I will look at it, maybe transfer to transfer. But again, with this game, you only get one transfer a week, so you've got more fires to fight your team. The time you get around to it, it'll probably be too late. Week 33, week 34.
Yeah, that's also the thing with the goalkeeper. So if I wanted to bring in another outfield player from Livingston, I would have to take him -4. Just to free up that spot there that the goalie takes up. So for now, I'm just going to stick with what I have.
Okay, right, your stat?
My stat of the week is actually from the game itself. They tweeted out after the Celtic game that was Odson Edouard. He scored more than one goal in a single game for the first time since game week one.
That's an indictment of Celtic season, isn't it, really, in Edouard's form?
It's picking up now, though.
Yeah, because there's no pressure down the league's over. Being on Celtic, we'll go to the results. First up, Celtic 1, St Mirren 2. Edward goal, McGregor assist. And for St Mirren, it was Dennis goal, Dermot goal, and a Connolly and McAllister assist each. So thoughts on this bin fire of a game, Gunnar?
So the first thing that I have in my note is Ayer at right back isn't working. I know they've signed a right back now since, but it's not really that Ayer isn't working at right back. It's more that Shane Duffy isn't working at centre half. So they need Ayer to play there.
Just not working full stop, Shane Duffy.
So, but they signed, what is it, John Joe Kenny Everton, yep, on loan.
Who I'm pretty much sure will be guaranteed nailed because part of these terms alone would be game time. I'm assuming that would be the case or he wouldn't come up here.
I think also for Everton, they're probably only sending him out on loan if he's been guaranteed game time from Celtic there. We said it just now, Edouard, he's hitting some kind of form now, which is good for fantasy because he's still one of the most expensive assets in the game. I brought him in a few weeks ago and I held on to him just because I didn't know what other striker to go for, and Celtic have these double game weeks coming up. Even though they lost the game, at least he got his goal there. I want to mention I sent it in our chat, the strangely taken corner at 2-1 down, where they had Griffiths and Turnbull standing over the corner. I've not seen anything like that before. You know it from free kicks where they're trying to mess with the opponents, but I've not seen it from a corner before. I would rather have another man in the box.
The only thing I can think is if they're trying to pretend it was going to be a short corner, like they kick it and then do something for the tactical, but it just looked like it looked, you know what I mean? Like they do the whole short corner and try something different.
Of course,
and
maybe
pull defence out. Didn't come with anything. I just found it, as you said, I just found it very strange to see what they were trying to do. Especially when one of them was a striker. One was Griffiths, wasn't it? Was that right?
Yep.
That's your one less striker in the box as well. It's another tat. Then there you go.
You got Turnbull standing over that corner with Griffiths. And I mean, we all have Turnbull in our teams because he's so good from set pieces. And then, you, like you say, you see the striker standing over him, over the corner with him there. I don't know. Like I say, I've not seen that one before. What I've seen before, though, is Christie just wildly hitting shots left, right, and center and not even hitting the target. So that's one of the points here in my notes as well. He's so annoying to watch, and he's just hitting it over and over again. Like, at least Turnbull, you know, he gets it on target and he gets a couple of returns from him from it. But yeah,
Christie,
the returns for Christie are a lot few and far between, you know.
Christie was like Turnbull about 18 months ago. This is, I think, a regression because of the coaching staff. I know it's a wee bit off tangent again here, as I like to do a reek with Celtic. But if Christie's going to be off ski anyway. I mean, sorry, Christie will go in the summer. But see, a better coach, probably get better out of Christie. I think he's been given the instruction, if you see goal, shoot. Because Lennon likes shots and goal. Doesn't mean anything because he doesn't go on target. Whereas Turnbull's come in and he's been great. And I just hope that Lennon's away for next season because I can see Turnbull quickly becoming the same kind of player Christ is, given a wrong style of coaching and management. That's me. But on the game, that was St Mirren's first win at Parkhead for 30 years. Well deserved, by the way, and it could have been more. I thought Celtic were atrocious. And I don't know what else to say. St Mirren have looked pretty decent the last couple of game weeks. They're going to be firmly in the bottom six, and I'm going to have a look at some of these players come the second wild card. Keep an eye on this coming forward because it could be some cheap assets to get in there to complement the team you've got going on.
Aye.
Next up, Gunnar, Dundee United 0, Hibs 2. So McGregor goal, Boyle goal, Irvine with two assists. That's two assists for a new signing and a clean sheet from Hibs. Thoughts on this game?
Yeah, the new boy, you just mentioned him, Irvine, two assists. You said he's a former Celtic youth player.
Yeah, came through a ranks, yep.
The goal that McGregor scored, he just leathered it in and true secrets. He had absolutely no chance. I thought you could see it's really good for Hibs that Marciano's back in goal. He gives them a bit more solidity at the back. And just, I think they trust the goalie more than whoever they have in there when he was injured. I think there was a blatant handball not given for Dundee United, at least one. There was some calamitous refereeing this weekend in Scotland, if I may say so. A couple of scenes that I've seen. I don't know if there's goal line technology. There's definitely no VAR. Some of these technical things might have helped the referees in a few of those decisions. And Boyle scored a goal. He did score one in the other game than they had
More on Boyle later, if they kept him, well done.
Exactly. And that's what I have so far on that game.
See, watching the game, I don't know again if Hibs have improved or United just look that terrible. A bit like that later on with the Kilmarnock game against Celtic. United seem to be on a really slippery slope down the hill and they offer nothing. I remember at the start of the season, we discussed this on the pod. Dundee looked like a team who would come out, go for it, and they're going to do enough through the stage of the season that they'll keep themselves up because they're having a go against some teams. They'll get points, they'll get the win here and a draw here, and they'll keep themselves up. But recently, they're not been very good at all. And I follow quite a few United fans on Twitter, and they are not happy with the manager. So, do you think United could easily slip into a relegation battle?
See, I was going to ask you in return that you say we were expecting them to have a go in a few of these games and then at least be safe, not be relegated. But the form they're in at the minute, they lack ideas, in my opinion. There's no real transition play. And some of the goals they scored recently as well, like Shanklin hitting it from 30 yards out and it's going in and stuff. Yeah, it's a nice goal, but like you won't get those chances every week. And at the minute, I don't see how Dundee United are going to turn around their form. There's nothing to suggest that it's going to get better.
I'm putting it as a, because I think there might be a wee shock sacking before the end of the season, and we shouldn't be surprised because people go, oh, they're just stuck. What are they expecting? It's like you can see them if you watch it from months back, the way they're playing, they're going nosedive in the wrong direction. That's a wee point in case it happens. Next up, another nice segue, speaking of sackings or resignings, Kilmarnock 2, St Johnstone 3. St Johnstone came behind to beat Kilmarnock. This is a game obviously Alex Dyer resigned, mutually left after this game. So Burke goal, Tishpula goal, Kibamba two assists. Hey, that's all Scottish game there. Names, big names. That's the three players he's wanted for Kilmarnock assets, apart from Kelly, obviously. And for St Johnstone, Milhamed goal, Davidson goal, McCann goal, Kane assist, and two assists for Milhamed. Gunnar.
Yeah, you already said it there. The first thing in my notes that I have is Burke and Kabamba combining for goals. It's like game week 5 or 6 all over again. We've had that at the start of the game. We've not seen it for a while. Thomas probably happy about Guy Melamed turning it on. Now 1 goal, 2 assists in this game.
Did he bring him in? I thought he did, but...
I don't know if he did, but he was banging his drum. You know, he still had him on the watch list, I think.
I don't think he had, but his points been so low, it's about 4, I don't think he did.
Right, okay. The set piece defending from Killy is absolutely atrocious. They also play like a team who's short of ideas, who don't know what to do with the ball. No transition play, and then we're going to come on to that when we speak about the second Celtic game. They made it so easy for Celtic in that game. There's just nothing, just like Burke tries a couple of things still, but overall... I think he's their best player, but it's not enough having one good player.
And he's 37 years old.
Yep.
Kilmarnock strike me the exact same type of team and scenario as Dundee United. They're slowly, surely going down that table. And this goes to the point again, teams like Ross County changed their manager, Livingston changed their manager, and now you wouldn't even look at them and go, they're in danger of going down. They're going the right direction. I know Ross County's further down the table than Livingston, fair enough, but they look like they're going the right direction. Motherwell, another one, going the right direction, whereas they two look like free fall. At least Livingston made the change. Depends who they bring in, but to try to save the season, or it could be down there with Dundee United and Hamilton and likes.
I mean, for Kilmarnock, what I've heard, they're looking at Robinson, who's just left Motherwell.
That'd be a good appointment, I think.
I think so as well. For them, it's they don't really have the funds to you know, price someone away from like someone who's in a good job, so they need to take someone who's free. So
I would have thought his stock would have been higher than that, mind you, because he had a couple of good seasons with Motherwell, but then maybe there isn't as much interest as he thinks. Scottish football's a bit of a backwater, isn't it? It's like, maybe I'll have to take a cyber step and try to do it again. I don't know. If that'd be a good appointment for him, I think. The last game of the Saturday games was Livingston 0, Aberdeen 0. I'm pretty sure we're all happy with this one because it was a 0-0. So clean sheets, ahoy. Not much to say. I thought Livingston were the better team. More dangerous. But what's your thoughts on this game, Gunnar?
Yeah, like I said, when I read out my points, Strijek, he's just plucking along nicely for points. And as I've also said, he's a big upgrade for Livy on McCrory. To be fair, I think Joe Lewis, he had a good game. He made a good few saves. And Johnny Hayes, he had a big chance missed for Aberdeen. See, this is me doing the big chances when Tom isn't here. In the highlights, it looked a good open game, I would say, albeit 0-0 in the end. Decent watch, but we've had to return. We had to rematch from that just a couple of days later. Huh?
That's the next game up. Aberdeen 0, Livingston 2. A Lewis own goal. After you give him praise, he just made a complete, wreck-it of it. Devlin goal, Mullen assist, and a clean sheet for Livingston as they match on again. And this game, again, it could have been a lot more. Livingston were just steamrolling Aberdeen.
Yep, we praised him just now, but Joe Lewis for the own goal, absolute howler from him. And overall, I thought this game, he looked really shaky. I mentioned it last pod where he sometimes has this, that he's supposed to be this really solid keeper, but then he just throws this into his own net. I think it was the second goal. Yeah, must have been the second goal. Pinpoint cross from Mullen to Devlin. Yeah, completely unmarked in the box. And free goal, basically. Jet, he hit another one of his trademarks where he runs forwards, doesn't have a pass open, completely out of breath, and then he just hits it from outside the box. Honestly, if you watch that, even if I just watch the highlights, whenever he plays, once a game at least, he tries something like that. I think it has come off for him once already. But if you look out for that, he does it once a game. And then also no goal line technology meant no goal for Lewis Ferguson.
Wasn't too bad. I took him out, so I wasn't bothered with that one.
See, I still have him.
And also, we lost. Don't have him to come out. Just a lies on the bench. He's not because of space, because of bench boost. Talking rubbish. Right. 3 points. And also, Guffrey off injured in this game. So, I can see him going forward. Just to wait and see. Listen to the pressers at the weekend.
Well, in a way, he might be a concern, but he's so cheap. And he's like, I think he's everyone's fifth choice midfielder, defender. And he's been picking up points. So I'm not going to transfer him out. I transferred out the lad Henderson from St. Mirren when I seen him benched there in the second week then. And I don't have a non-playing player at the time of recording. So if Guthrie is out, he'll take over that role, that's and then hopefully he'll be back the week after.
Good way to play it. If he plays, he plays. You want him playing. If he doesn't, then best off the bench.
Yeah.
Next up, St Mirren 1, Hibs 2. Anik red card, Obika goal, Connolly assist. And for Hibs, it was a Porteous goal, a Boyle goal, and a Boyle assist. And I praised St Mirren last time. I thought St Mirren looked better when they were what, down to 10 men. I know Hibs won the game, but watching the highlights, I still don't see Hibs. I mean, maybe they've won two games of trot. I'm sure they can't complain, but they just don't look like they're free-flowing, well-oiled yet.
Yeah, I agree. The Hibs definitely look like they have another gear or two to turn it up. But then again, they're winning these kind of games even when it's close. But St Mirren were down 10 men playing their second keeper. In return, that's Hibs now up to third in the table. Boyle, he seems to come into some kind of form again. Goal and assist in this game. Also, the keeper being sent off, he wasn't really helped by the back pass to him. So... Not really much he can do. He was going for the ball there and missed it. Porteous, he was left out in the game before that, same as Nisbet. I think they were benched with rumors of them being like leaving the club. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't. Nisbet didn't either. He was rumored to go to Birmingham, put in a transfer request. But for the two of them, I think it's just they need to put their head down now and play as well as they did in the first half of the season and just take it from there.
See on that, I think Hibs are quite right. Now, I know it's a stepping stone for clubs, but see if Nisbet stays into the season, gets his head down like you said, plays well, and the chance he makes the Scottish squad for the Euros, then he'll be at a higher standard and Hibs people demand more money from him. Maybe that's what they're thinking as well. Listen, don't go the round. You can go to maybe a championship, top 5-6 club, or a low prem club if you perform at the end of the season and then go to the Euros and get a squad.
I mean, I've heard something that it might have been money wages related as well for Nisbet. Obviously, wages are going to be, and signing on fees are going to be higher in the Championship than they are in the Scottish Premiership. But he's only been there for half a season, I think. And it might have been different if he already been there for a season and a half and he got the offer now from the Championship, then they might have let him go even, and he might have seen that as a better chance and like being going to the Euros as well. But him just being there for half a season, probably for the club, it wasn't the right time. They would have had to get a replacement. Him, Deutsch, he isn't really firing at the minute. And what are you going to do with 3 million in the bank on transfer deadline day and you can't bring anyone in? You know, that 3 million isn't going to score you goals.
Okay. Next up, Kilmarnock 0, Celtic 4. We're back, baby. We're back.
Aye.
Brown goal, Edouard 2 goals, one for a penalty, a goal for Jetty, Turnbull 2 assists, a Brown assist, and a clean sheet for Celtic. Now, I tried to watch this game like in isolation rather than like the whole bin fire that's been the last couple of weeks. And we played, played a lot better than I've been playing, but I just still seem to see it's the same old Celtic. It's Lennon's tactics against flat track bullies. You're playing the bottom six teams, then you should win. They're winning. Now, if I said to you last year, or you may have watched it last year, playing at Kilmarnock, one of the hardest pitches, and winning 4-0 is a great result, but it doesn't mean anything. But fantasy-wise, it's good, obviously, I suppose that way. I just don't... Kilmarnock looked atrocious. You mentioned it earlier on. They had like zero... It looked like zero idea that we were doing, and it just... That's kind of game Celtic needed at that stage, I suppose. And Edwards would come back. Tom would look good. From a personal point of view, I just didn't like the fact that Brown looked good because then I could like vindicate Lennon and go, that's I'm staying the team now. But that's neither here nor there, really. But what's your thoughts on the game?
Well, I couldn't believe it at first when I looked at the highlights or when I looked at the goal scorers and assists after the game, and it was Scott Brown with a goal and an assist. I was like, here we go. Is he going to be a fantasy option now? But it's like you said, the first thing in my notes is I thought Killy made it really, really easy for Celtic. Like you say, last season it would have been a difficult ground to go to. But Killy, they look in absolute disarray. They need a proper manager in and they need one in soon and he needs to turn it around. But I think if Celtic had played a team who knows how to transition play and maybe who know how to play a counter-attack and maybe put a set piece in, then it would have been a different story. It wouldn't have been so easy for Celtic as it might have looked now.
we'll see the next fixture going to be, because they're playing a well-organised team with a new manager next. But anyway, on to Wednesday's results. Last night, Hamilton 1, Ross County 2. Kelly own goal for Hamilton. White goal, Mackay goal. Rara spotted Mackay goal for Ross County. Naismith assist and a White assist. And Ross County come back from... They were behind, didn't they? Come back from behind, 1-2-1. Thoughts on the game?
See, I missed that game. That's the only one I don't have any notes on. But you mentioned Billy Mackay, and that must have been his first goal now since game week 2.
Yep. Is this the Tom's stat for last week? Or was it your stat?
I think it was my stat, yeah.
Your stat, there you go. He's back. You sat with somebody getting a dig at you for winding him up. Hamilton took the lead to the highlights of what I saw, but Ross County, again, another team who's playing well for the manager. They did not stop. They did not. They kept on going, and they got their justly deserved 2-1 victory. Hamilton, again, another team you can put in with your Kelly's Dun United, who are going to have a struggle into the season. And I know I said it before, don't count them out, but this could be a season too far for Hamilton, I think. But we'll wait and see. They get more rubbish to play against the bottom six.
I mean, the fixtures for Hamilton, they look really tough. It's Rangers and Livy now in the double game week. Motherwell, new managers against St Mirren as well, then in the next double game week. Yeah, that's a tough run for Hamilton, and it's not going to get easier.
Yep. I took him out weeks ago, but I also noticed asset-wise, Callaghan has not been returning at all. After a nice piece...
He's been really quiet, yeah.
Really quiet, so I'm glad he's out of my team. And I know we've got a double game week coming up soon. Unless he's ticker. Hamilton. Is this week, isn't it? It's a 2 in a trot, and I've got no inclination to bring any Hamilton players on at all, because what's the point? Right, and next after that is Motherwell 2, Dundee United 1, Cole goal, long goal, a Cole assist, an Edwards goal, and a Sproul assist, gonna, if you're still on me.
See, I wish I was. Let's start with a special mention then for Adrian Spurley. He should have probably made it 2-2 right at the death. Had a big chance there, but he didn't. So 2-1 for Motherwell. Cole, he got a goal and assist in this game as well. That's in this double game week, that was 2 goals and assists for Cole, so that was a good play. And well, I thought in the first half, Motherwell really took the game to Dundee United, and then took the sting out of the game a little bit. And 2-1, I think, is a good result for Motherwell as well. But we spoke about Dundee United before, and it's the same again. It's short of ideas, and I don't see them like. I don't even see a player that you put into that team and then go, oh yeah, now it's going to click. It's so much that isn't really working together, in my opinion.
See, just again, can I keep my eye on this, going into this bottom six split? If the form keeps up against you, you're wanting teams, players playing against these teams, you want to go, well, Dundee United are terrible, Hamilton's terrible, Kilmarnock's terrible. But who's going to be playing them? Well, it's going to be St Mirren players, potentially. It's going to be Motherwell players, potentially. So there's a nice route into maybe some points. Ross County as well. Into the route of these kind of... If the teams are, then again, what happens in this bottom six is teams will start fighting for their lives, because their lives depend on it, and the form can uptake as well. So, sad to see. And the last up, the champions elect are champions in waiting. Rangers 1, St Johnstone 0. Had your goal, Jack assist, and a clean sheet. Rangers not at their best. Where I can see for highlights, but again, got the win 1-0, move on.
Yeah, grinding out results. They needed a really good goal from Hadji. What a stunner. He drives into the midfield there from the right and puts it in. Like, even if they're not at their best, they're getting these 1-0 results. And once again, it's exactly what I expected before the game. Maybe not the scoreline being so low, but I didn't see any other result than a Rangers win in this game.
And you're like, yes, that was Gerrard's 100th win as a Rangers manager. Your hero there.
Good on him.
Right, on to predictions. Again, another terrible week for us. As it stood, it was 29, 15 and 33. In fact, I tell you a lie, good week for Tom, actually. I get 1 point. Let me have a look and see what it's for. For Motherwell beating Dundee United, the wrong score. You get 0, Gunnar, you got all of them wrong. Tom got the Hibs beating St Mirren, correct, 3 points, and a win for Motherwell, so Tom 4 points. So as it stands, it is 30 me, Tom 19, you're still leading it on 33. So again, coming up, it's another double game week. So I'm going to ask you to predict. I'll read the games out first, but three games, right? So we've got Celtic versus Motherwell, Hibs versus Aberdeen, Livingston St Johnstone, Ross County Dundee United, St Mirren Kilmarnock, Hamilton Rangers, double game weeks are Livingston versus Hamilton, Kilmarnock versus Motherwell, and St Mirren versus Celtic. So some good fixtures in there. So first of all, Massey predict Hibs versus Aberdeen. And me and Tom have both went 0-0.
1-1 draw.
Right. Next up is St Mirren Kilmarnock. I went 3-1 St Mirren. Thomas went 2-1 St Mirren.
2-0 St Mirren.
And last up is Hamilton versus Rangers. I went 5-0. Tom went 4-0. And that's Rangers, by the way, just for any confusion there.
Well, I'm going to go 6-0 then.
Oh, Jesus, eh? You and Stevie G, get a room. Right, so this cover up is now the transfers, captains, vice captains. So, transfers wise, I'll go first. I have took out Hoban and I'm bringing in John Joe Kenny from Celtic. We discussed it earlier on. I think he's going to be nailed. I'm hoping he's nailed the rest of the season at right back. That gives the chances at clean sheets, good to play every game, hopefully. And if Celtic get that better rhythm going, he will be going further up the pitch. So that's to me for Hoban. What's your thoughts?
I like that. Do you think if he goes to right back and Ayer drops back into centre half, would that see Duffy drop to the bench?
Well, he played Walsh and Ayer the other night. I think he's preferred. Two would be Ayer and Beaton if he's fit. But then Duffy didn't play last night, he played well. So maybe the Duffy's just now not going to have any sort of game time. But Ayer's definitely going to be playing every game. So if you've got him, he's nailed Ayer.
Why?
Just one other. So I personally think it would be Beaton as his Lennon's first choice. And then it would be maybe Walsh or Duffy, depending.
Well, I wasn't even asking for Ayer. I was just thinking if Duffy's benched, that'll increase Celtic's chances for a clean sheet.
Well, yeah, it would. But then you've got Bainey. Then you've got Bainey sitting at the back. He's instead the hologram that is Scott Bain.
Well, it doesn't even matter who they have in goal. Barkas or Bain, they're just equally as afraid of catching a ball as the other. But looking at my team, if I had another bench boost, I'd probably play another bench boost because I could... I have 15 players with decent fixtures again. I was thinking of taking Devante Cole out, but he does have a double game week, and one of them is against Killy, so I can definitely see him score there. I don't know so much about Celtic. It'll probably be the week where one of either Hedges or Ferguson is going to go.
Yep, your chance of playing Hibs, difficult fixture.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be Hedges out, and I might jump on the Martin Boyle train again, actually.
Mm. Right. You've got rid of Devante Cole. Maybe I'm thinking about taking a hit for Devante Cole, bringing him in. That's what I was thinking about this. Also...
Well, they have Hamilton after the double game week.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I think. And see, because I could get rid of Nisbet for 1 week, 2 weeks, because he seemed to be benched, he seemed to be in a huff, and then bring him back in the fixtures turn again.
He's only played 54 minutes in the last game as well, and then he was benched again before. Yeah, you're right.
You think if he gets head in his place, he'll play, but then he's playing Aberdeen next, so I'm not 100% sure he'll score anyway. Aberdeen's quite solid at the back. You're thinking about taking out Hedges or Ferguson? And you've got three Livingston players, haven't you?
I mean, so that's the two Aberdeen players I had. I was thinking about Ferguson because, well, he wasn't on penalties and... well, he wasn't really performing, but now with Cosgrove out, he might be back on penalties then. Yeah, yep. He might be back on penalties then. So Ferguson's staying and Hedges, well, sometimes he plays this like right wing back role. And like, once again, watching the highlights, he's the player who's been called for the most. It's just Hedges, Hedges, Hedges. So I don't know if he never listens or if he just does his own thing, but he hasn't returned in a few weeks now. So yeah, he can go.
He starts there quite often at a fullback position, but then the game develops, he kind of comes into midfield. I said that a week ago, and Tom's like, I didn't really see it, but it does. He starts on the right wing back, then as the game proceeds, he kind of pulls into the midfield role. Strange kind of tactics.
Yeah, it makes me wonder why he just doesn't start in the number 10 or like further up anyway, because like just watching the highlights, he always ends up there on the edge of the box, but he starts the game at this right wing back role, so... It's definitely the game plan, but just starting further forward anyway. Like,
I'm just looking at double game week players here. I'm thinking of them who would stand out to bring in. I mean, you've got three Celtic players on your team.
Got three Celtic. I've got three Rangers, and well, including Guthrie, who's flagged. I've got three Livy.
So the only one that stands out, like you said, is light for light with the Boyle. You want more attacking turns. I mean, it's unless you don't really, you're not going to touch a Hamilton player really.
Nope.
Kilmarnock not in form. St Mirren would only be maybe McGrath. I don't know if you should have fingers popping that one already.
See, I've got the McGrath. I've got the McGrath. I had him before, then I took him out, and now with Henderson being like on the bench, I used that and brought McGrath in, I think, 2 weeks ago. But well, I've only ever played him now in the bench boost. He hasn't started for me or came off the bench yet.
Yeah, well, I understand. That's a fair enough decision then, because there's none else stands out to me to bring in. I'll take it's going to be an easy one this week. They are playing Rangers. Unless you're going to go for a double up player, captain or vice captain, is it the Rangers, Barisic, Golson?
Well, my captain is Tavernier, but I've just had great returns from Watson Edward. He's playing Motherwell and St Mirren.
Oh, they played two games yet. Well, that's a good shout.
So at the moment, he still has my vice captain. But like you say, I mean, my prediction is 6-0 for Rangers.
Yeah, you got to back that up, Gunnar.
cheeky vice-captain there for Barisic or Golson. It's just because Celtic played twice. But it's tough to say because, yes, they won the game against Kilmarnock 4-0, but it was against the Kilmarnock side who's completely shot of confidence. So I don't know how much we can actually, like, take from that game and now say like Celtic are back in form, especially playing against Motherwell now with the new manager. St Mirren beat them already just a few weeks ago, so yeah, it's a tough decision this week.
Yep, I've got captain Tavernier, I think, and I'm sitting right now on Kenny, John Joe Kenny, vice captain, mm-hmm. right now, because I'm thinking if the worst case scenario, well, best case scenario, they could get two clean sheets, and that's two better than one, but then it could be like Motherwell, Celtic could throw it away. I'll think about it over the weekend. Oh, sorry, for the weekend. It's something. It's a risk we may have to take to try to catch some points. Right, Twitter, Tom. Tom's leaving here. Twitter, going to go to questions before we head on a bit of FPL chat before we finish up. So, what was the question this week? First question was from Mark. It was Toynton 1993. How do you find out how you've done versus your opponent in the cup? So I replied to him in the Twitter, but I'll say it to him to get here as well. We'll be posting a draw on Twitter either today or tomorrow or at the weekend. Gunnar, you're going to be on top of that. You'll see who you've got. You can tweet back and forth from a bit about what they mentioned. Come into the game week, we'll be checking the scores off and updating, and we'll post updated results and the draw future on for that. Happy with that?
Oh, aye. Yeah, it needs a bit of help from the players who've entered the cup. But I think if everyone wants to make it work, then it's going to be a good thing.
Yep. I'll be direct messaging these. I've got everything in the list anyway after the game. Get the scores in, screenshot your photos, and we can update it as quick as possible. The next round updated for the next week coming up. As I said before, the first round will probably be the hardest round. We get through the first round, the rest should be a doddle. Fingers crossed. Right. Next up is from Palace Scout. What to do with Alan Forrest and Jack Alnwick?
Well, Alnwick, he's been red carded, so he's definitely going to miss the one game. If not two, all right.
I think it's only one, I'm not too sure. Was that a straight red?
It was a straight red, yeah.
Maybe two then. But anyway.
I mean, the games aren't easy anyway. They're playing St Mirren keep it red.
I only brought him in because he had four double game weeks. That was my intention. So the first week, he get no points. The second week, he's gained up with no points again because he won't play. So it's whether you stick with him for the next two game weeks and hope we get at least one or two clean sheets. Otherwise, it's been a total wrong move.
Yeah, I mean, he isn't very expensive, but I still think if you get a keeper in who can get you two clean sheets, like say if he has a double game week, and you don't know how long Anik is out. Is it the one game, the two games? So that you could be looking at 14 points just by like making one transfer. If you get someone in, it's going to get you two clean, like the Livy goalie, for example. So Anik, I definitely not stick, but Twist. And who was the other one?
Alan Forrest from Livingston, who's a better rotation risk.
Oh, he's definitely a rotation risk. We spoke about the midfielders like your Robinsons, and that they're all not really, you can't 100% predict who's going to start there.
The only one that's just more nailed on is Mullen. Even then, he's been benched
prior to the cup game. Yeah.
Yep, that's because of the cup game. But I think, I mean, if they've got the cup final coming in a couple of weeks' time, he will be rotating players again coming up to it because they're going to have to keep rest his best 11, I think, over the space of maybe two game weeks, keep them fresh for the final.
Oh, you're right. See, I was going to suggest a sideways move to Mullen then, but you're right. If they're going to rest, like, if you think Martindale might rest his players again before the final, then you'll probably play someone like Forrest. Mm. It's just, when is the final though? It's in game week 30, so that's one, two game weeks away.
Livy, do they? Livy have a double, so that's three games. But just use the transfer and bring Mullen in for the three games, and then you could still reverse it or bring someone else in when he's rested.
He's more nailed, I suppose. Yeah. And then, don't hang in that game week 30, there'll be no game. So, quite a few is on two or three Livingston players. Need to jiggery poke the team and try to get an 11 or at least a decent bench out of it. With Anik, I'm just keeping because I'm not going to play him this double game week because it is Kilmarnock and Celtic. Because probably only featuring one of them. So I'll go back to Marciano because I've got him. I'm assuming this guy has him as a second choice keeper because he's really cheap. Okay, yeah. And then I'll bring Anik back in for the next game because it's Aberdeen and Hamilton. So there's a chance of clean sheet against Hamilton. And then the game week after that is also Motherwell and Ross County, both at home. So there's more potential clean sheets there than the away games. That's my thinking. But I've got Marciano's backup to bring in anyway, so I have no issue. That's just me personally. I don't know who he has as his second keeper, but I'm assuming he's that cheap. That would be his backup keeper.
Yeah.
Right, and that is us from Twitter. So we'll go to that FPL chat, Gunnar. Just a wee bit before we finish up. Let me get this up here. You like this bit? You always do. Right, we'll go to our league, Catholic Fantasy Podcast League. Top three, sitting top is yourself, Gunnar. Los Pimentores. Overall, 1487 points. Jerry Agnew second with 1394. Picnic George is third, 1392. And I'm sitting just by using fourth, ready to pounce. So, we'll talk about the game week so far, I suppose. But we've missed because of all the midweek games. It's been a bit nutty with trying to catch the results in the game weeks were split. So, last week, me and Tom kind of discussed a wee bit, we hadn't finished it. There was one game left. So, that was game week 20, I believe. And the scores that week were Peter 58, Tom 63, and Gunnar 62. And then last week, Peter had 75, Tom had 66, and you had 44. It was quite a bad game week, Gunnar. You were quite upset last week, quite annoyed.
I had a shocker there last week, yeah.
But this week, before it's finished, we have Peter 66, Tom in 69, and Gunnar's 85. So even though the last two weeks, after the best average, this game week coming up, you are well ahead and you're back up top. So what's your game week rank? That's not your game week. What's your game overall rank?
My overall rank is 806. So I dropped to 2K overall. I think it was yesterday, just before the game. I'm out of the cup as well. But yeah, into the 1K overall again.
Not bad. Can maintain it. I dropped to 120 from 95. But I think that's to be expected now with it's so tight in the differential players. That, like example, who is it? Scored yesterday, James. Scores and an assist and a clean sheet. Not an assist. Justin with a clean sheet and a goal. I just knew that was my rank was going to take a plummet after that.
Do you know the player who I get wrong every week is probably Suchek. So I've benched him for his 15 points. Then I played him for his 1-pointer the last week. And then I benched him again this week where he got 9 points. So I still haven't figured him out.
I think with Suchek, it's just like your first... I think the tactic is he should be like your first sub, shouldn't he be? And just don't worry about
that's
it.
That's why he stayed on the bench for twice because I didn't get anyone on, no.
I've seen a few threads on Twitter. People had him for the last six game weeks and they've benched the wrong weeks and then had him the other way around, basically. So they just had no points off him. I think he just got a... Unless your team's looking really terrible, he's your first sub. So predictions for this week. Sorry, go on, let me see. Arsenal Man United... I got it right, 3 points, nothing else I got right. Tom got nothing last week. And Gunnar, you got the Arsenal United draw. You used one each for a point for that. Liverpool win for a point for that. So as it stands now, we are 25, me, 12, Tom, and Gunnar, 6. So the fixture I might predict this week, Villa, Arsenal. I've got 2-0 Villa. Tom's got 2-1 Villa.
3-1 Villa.
Liverpool City, I've went 1-0 City. Tom went 3-0 City. What do you think?
2-1 Liverpool.
Yeah. Is that really what you think?
After the result against Brighton, they need to do something. And they always find it easier, I think, for the bigger games, especially against Pep. I think Klopp is still the manager who's beat them the most. So City are definitely in form. It's going to be a tough game. But... you know, it's like for you and Tom with the green tinted specs. I got me red tinted specs, you know. So
fair enough, Gunnar. Fair enough. A nice real dig there. And last up, Burnley and Brighton. I went 0-0. Tom's went 1-0 Brighton.
I think that's going to be a super boring game. 0-0.
Okay. So Bring us on to our captains and transfers. So let's look at the fixtures first. Pick a team. Who's your captain sitting on for the week as it stands?
Well, it's a tough one. I have two Liverpool. I've got three City. They're playing each other. Don't know if I'm going to captain someone there. Just on first glance, I'd like to stick it on Antonio playing against Fulham. But that is probably a bit mad as well. But just from the players I have, he's the one who sticks out with the easiest fixture. I've got Calvert-Lewin, who's playing Man United. Watkins against Arsenal. I've got the three West Ham against Fulham. So I've got Justin against Wolves.
Have you got Fernandes?
I do have Bruno, yeah, against Everton. Yeah, he's probably the obvious choice, but I've went the obvious choice as well. Was it this week or last week where Bruno only got like the 2 points, 3 points? No, when was that? Game week 20, see, I captained him. He got me 4 points overall, and that was supposed to be an easy game against Sheffield United as well.
It's a hard one this week, actually, looking at it. I mean, there's after Grealish as well, like home against Arsenal. Sun against West Bromwich Albion. Now, Sun could be an option, depending on how he plays tonight, I think. I'll wait to see how he plays against Chelsea.
I want to see how they play without Kane.
Yeah, they played rubbish last game against Brighton. Then Brighton went on and showed they're actually a bit of form since then. That's some 4-1-0s or trot, I'm sure. If Sun does well tonight, playing against West Brom, I think I might just go for Sun. Because I don't think anybody else stands out. Apart from that, it'd probably be Bruno.
Yeah, I like the Sun shout. I still have 6.7 million in the bank, so I could upgrade someone like Anguissa to Sun.
What's the next point? See, transfers, what's the transfer spots going forward?
Again, like I say, it's a tough one because I have these, but I have so many players involved in this big fixture. I'm even thinking of
taking one at the final line.
Yeah, maybe even benching Trent and taking one of the City defenders out, or benching them, one of them as well, just to be safe, and then play the West Ham guys against Fulham because they've got Kufal and Suchek. Probably get it wrong with Suchek again, but I'm going to check how long KDB is out still. And then I'd like to upgrade Anguissa because he's just a cheapie and I got the money in the bank. So Grealish or Son are the ones that I've picked out there.
Well, I've got two things. I'm either thinking of upgrade a defender. So who have I got? I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep Kinsella and Stones. So I've got Holding. Mitchell I brought in to be a fifth choice, so he's fine. He's 3.8 million. He's going to sit on the bench. He'll be rated down out of squads anyways. He's worried about him. So it's Dawson or Holding. I could upgrade to somebody if I wanted to. I was thinking of Kufal. He's only 0.2 more, and obviously he's a fullback, so more potential returns. But in saying that, Dawson has been a good bit of form and a bit of a bonus point machine. But then maybe if I now just went, right, I've had my bonus points off him, I've had my goals, I've had my clean sheets.
Yeah.
Take me move on. And also my other thinking is maybe Calvert-Lewin to Ings. Because it doesn't really matter. I'm waiting for Kane to come back. So can I just play the whole juggle with the striker to whoever I think is the best fixture every week? Now, DCL could also score against Man United, but I think there's more likely chance that Ings would score against Newcastle. It's just my thoughts going forward.
Yeah, I haven't checked the Southampton fixture. I mean, they probably want to pick themselves up again after that game against Man United.
I was thinking that as well, yeah.
But Man United, they might be on a high and maybe underestimating Everton. So I got 9 points of Calvert-Lewin there so far this game week. So maybe he can do it again against Man United. Then Everton have Fulham after that. And then it's going to be a bit tougher with Liverpool and Chelsea in the next three then. Yeah, but it's a nice idea going for Ings there. And then once he's back, going for Kane.
And what about defensively? If you had my predicament, who would you upgrade to?
Well, I have Kufal. I've got really good returns from Justin, but if I didn't have him already, I don't know if I'd be bringing him in if I used the transfer for that. So Kufal, I like that thing.
Kufal's the one I was thinking about. It was Kufal or Target, but Kufal, where I've watched him with eye test, I think he's been lucky not to get more assists. And I think just Dawson to Kufal is only 0.2 in it, and I keep the same player for the same team, and then just I like West Ham defensively attacking wise, and then just stick with that. It's either that or Ings, I don't know. But you mentioned there after that game, they've got Fulham and they're decent fixtures, and maybe just stick with DCL for the time being. Yeah, quite sad to make up. Right, good, that is us finished then. So we want to get your plugs in. I'll start with Tom's first. Follow Tom at FFS Scout. Hit him up. He's not here to say it this week.
Hit him up, yeah. I'm at Fantasy Fitball Weekly. Is that right? No, I'm at Fitball Weekly Pod, actually, on Twitter. Doing another podcast with my mate John. That usually comes out at the start of the week. We're on another wee break at the minute. I'm going to do the artwork for the cup. We're doing a vice captain and captain poll on Twitter as well. So go and check that out.
Excellent. You can follow Gunnar, like you said. You can follow Tom at FFS Scout. You can follow me at Fantasy Half. Keep your eyes peeled to Twitter when you'll see the actual draw, who you've got. Like if you're listening to it, download the cup game, you already know, but you can see how your route to the final would work out. And again, if you like the podcast, give us a review of you get it from iTunes or whatever your podcast. And we'll bat again. Am I going to assume, again, you're on another double game week? We'll talk offline, I think, probably next Thursday until these double game weeks are out of the way, so we can all encompass the fixtures. If that's okay with you and Tom, that's what we'll do.
That sounds good.
Great, guys. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the end of the week. Goodbye, Gunnar.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking on the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind, he put a gun up to my head. He made it clear he wasn't looking for a fight. He said, give me all you got, I want your money, not your life. But if you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him, you can have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. Oh no, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Taking money from the church, he stuffed his bank account with righteous dollar bills. But even still, I can't say much because I know we're all the same. Oh yes, we all seek out to satisfy those thrills. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.